I love to hear good stories, especially stories about people of faith. They really help me on my journey, you know what I'm saying? I think that's why God convicted me to leap from my business career and finance career into film production, because not only do I get to hear these awesome stories myself, but I have the privilege of producing them, these stories, and sharing them with the world. My first documentary film is called Single Creek. It's about single adults of all ages and life stages. You know, from the never married to the divorced to the widow, and a variety of other types of life stories, single moms, the never married moms that are struggling out there. But it's also about hope, and this movie's been on international television. Over in Europe, it's been on the Hope Channel for about 2 years now. And it was just licensed to a TV network in Germany, and it's airing in the Philippines. So these stories, God is giving a door for these stories to be told to the world. It's just been an amazing journey. And also my second film is called When Morning Breaks. And some of you were here last night and you saw a little clip of the opening of that film. And it's about finding hope after miscarriage and abortion. And I was able to tell my birth story in the beginning of that film. Well, that film is also being shown internationally. And these stories about finding hope, they're being told around the world, just like Single Creek. And so I give God praise for that. Because you never know, when you give your talents to God, what He's going to do with them. My third film is called About Miracles. And the distributor has already signed up for it, and they're expecting it by the end of September this year. So when I get back from camp meeting, back to the sauna of Florida, I'm going to, but God willing, I'll finish that in 2 more months. If you are here next weekend, tell your family and friends, be here at our last meeting, because we're going to screen the feature story from my third film, About Miracles. And I'm not going to give anything away. You just don't want to miss it. I promise you. It's amazing. Now, if I were to ask you today to describe your life as one of epic adventure, or perhaps average, everyday, maybe even boring, which would you say? If you said epic, you've been truly inspired by God. Because you see, most of us in this digital age of social media, right, we get the impression that everyone else is living this amazing life, right? You log into Facebook and you see these pictures of weddings, baby showers, you see awards, career awards and accolades, right? And you see pictures, amazing pictures of holidays in Europe and the Caribbean, New Zealand, Canada. I'm really not on a holiday, but I feel like it. You know what I'm saying? It's so beautiful here. But this really feeds those thoughts. You know what I'm saying? And what am I doing, right? Well, I'm punching the clock. I'm fighting the traffic. I'm going and earning my money so I can pay my bills and pay my taxes like a good citizen. Or maybe you're in graduate school and it seems like the journey will never end. And that's the problem with social media, right? And Facebook and Instagram and all of these other applications that you get bombarded with. And all you see are the highlights, the high points, right, of other people's lives. It gives you the illusion that they're living a more special life than you, a more epic life than you. And you know what? That's pretty much what it's like in the stories in the Bible. Right? It shows you the high points and the low points and many average everyday years passing in between without mention. Those people were just like you and me. I love Hebrews 11. It's like the biblical version of Facebook. It's the fly-by summary of God's everyday people. And their stories, their fly-by summaries, give us a glimpse of the sequel God is producing in you. As you allow Him to stretch you and mold you into an epic story. I'm going to recite Hebrews 11 right now. If you have your Bibles, feel free to follow along. Hebrews 11 and the first few verses of Hebrews 12 from the New King James Version. Whatever version you have, feel free to follow along. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and he was not found, for God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive for an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, for she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. For truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they seek a better, that is a heavenly country. For which reason, God is not ashamed to call them their God. For He has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, refusing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. For he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him as who invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down when they encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab was not destroyed with those who did not believe when she received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness became strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, refusing to accept deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had a trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered about in deserts and mountains and caves and dens of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they might not be made perfect apart from us. Amen? Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us throw aside every weight and that sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. For you have not yet resisted unto blood. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. The first thing I see in this passage is all the people's stories are squeaky clean. Not one mention of any mistakes. They're written here as if they're superheroes. You know what I'm saying? But we know Abraham was a liar. Moses was a murderer. Samson was a fornicator. And the list is long. But I find comfort in knowing that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, right? He didn't hold their past against them. And he won't hold yours against you either when you ask him forgiveness from your heart. Because it's not how your story begins that matters. It's how it ends. Right? God says in Micah, verse 7:19, that he subdues our sins and throws them into the bottom of the sea. Isn't that an amazing thought? You know, the second thing that I see standing out in this passage is the good news and the bad news. You ever had someone walk up to you and say, "Well, I have some good news and some bad news. Which would you like to hear first?" Right? But you see, God's people, they're subduing kingdoms. They're working righteousness. They're stopping the mouths of lions, turning to flight the armies of the aliens. And we're cheering, "Yay, God!" It's amazing Hollywood epic stuff. But then there's a transition. Right? Others were tortured. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. And we go, "Ooh! We don't want to hear that, God. Don't do that stuff. That's a big downer." But I don't believe God was saving the bad news for last. And you say, "How do you know that?" For the same reason Jesus said, John the Baptist was the greatest prophet that ever lived. When someone is willing to die rather than keep the truth silent. Do you hear me? We live in a politically correct society. Let's not offend anybody. John died because he refused to be silent. And I sort of feel like the final test that's coming up at the end of the semester. You know what I'm saying? It's on the schedule, but you can't avoid it. We study, we focus, we do the best we can. But still there's that tension. And we of all people, we Adventists, we know persecution is coming. And the question we ask ourselves is this: can we? Will we pass the test? The daily news grows worse as free societies quickly becoming police states. Cameras at every street corner. You can't go on one corner now in Orlando without some camera staring down at you. You know what I'm talking about. I saw some here in Calgary on my way up. Phone data being stored to spy on their citizens. Record-breaking storms. Fires burning the forests. Floods and droughts in quick succession. I don't have to tell you about floods here in Calgary, do I? Economies on the verge of collapse today. Society defying God's design for family and gender. And the bad news bombards us daily to the point where fatigue starts to set in. The former president of NBC and UPI, Bill Small, was once quoted as saying, "A single copy of the London Sunday Times contains more happenings than an Englishman just a few hundred years ago would be exposed to in his entire lifetime. One day of news. The human brain was not designed to endure such repeated traumatic exposure. Eventually it just goes numb, wants to check out. I experienced some of this traumatic stress some years ago. We had 4 hurricanes hit the state of Florida in one season. 4. That first hurricane came in from the Gulf of Mexico. It blew from the west side of the state across to the peninsula. Really damaged my parents' house pretty bad. And then it went north and hit Orlando. Ripped roofs off of homes and businesses. And by the time the 4th hurricane was tracking across the Atlantic, I was exhausted. You'd walk into grocery stores. You'd walk into building supply stores. And all you had to do is look at people in the eyes. And you'd see this hollow, blank stare. The fatigue is real. And the news doesn't even have to affect you directly, and you feel it, right? Because we see it every day. 24/7 news. Friends, listen to me. I believe Jesus saw our generation. I believe he saw the events that would overwhelm the human mind. And he gave us these stories to encourage us now. Now is the most dangerous time in history for God's people. Not when persecution comes. When persecution comes, it just solidifies the decisions we've already made. One way or the other. He wants us to be fully alive and awake right now. So that whether we live or die, it's all good news. Because we know that God is sovereign and his plans, listen, his plans cannot fail. And more than the storms that are raging out there, there's a storm in here. Do you hear me? The storm in here Jesus wants to calm. And I found in my journey that if I can break things down in simple steps, and my life isn't as stressful. Do you know that science has proven that you can only focus on one thought at a time? It's true. And that gives me comfort. That all God asks of me is to focus on him. And keep my eyes on him. It's simple, but it's sometimes difficult. Because we're not accustomed to using our spiritual eyes. Memorizing scripture helps me to do this, though. Right? Hebrews 11:27 says, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses endured. Life is not a sprint, right? It's a marathon. It's about endurance. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says that we should run the race with patience. And how do we run the race? By looking unto Jesus. And then how do we look at Jesus? Verse 3 gives us additional clarification in case we're wondering what looking is like. It says, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Listen, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. There it is. End time fatigue. Weary and discouraged. So, we overcome that. The remedy is to consider. That Greek word, consider, it means to compare or to weigh the difference. When we consider Christ, we're comparing what he went through with what I'm going through right now. And the scripture says it'll help us avoid being fatigued, being discouraged. Why is that? Tonight we're going to talk about more about Jesus as our brother. Jesus says to you, I've been there. I know. Nobody's hated me. Nobody's hated anyone like they hated me. I've been stabbed in the back. I know what that's like. But you know the most encouraging thing? Even though we're responsible for living out our role in this epic story God is writing, we're just the supporting actors. Because the epic story God is writing in your life and mine, listen, features the same lead character. He is and will always be the Alpha and the Omega of history. Are you hearing me? I was 14 years old. I was a veteran pathfinder. And I was on my way to my first international tour of duty. Yeah, let's do the first slide. There you go. Yeah, you see the Pathfinder logo on my shirt. I'm the guy with the big afro thing going on. So we're going to Honduras to teach first aid and to help build a church. And while we were there, we were assigned into different groups. And we were supposed to take one overnight trip, each little group, to go out and preach about Jesus. And so our day came, and we put our stuff in the back of the truck, and we started out to the village. It took several hours up into the mountains. And then we got out and we walked on foot for 3 more hours on these rough paths going up into the jungle. And we finally arrived at our location, and it was a small little village. And there was this little shack, this little shed right in the middle of the village. It had a tin roof. It had 2 barn windows that swung open on hinges. And it had a little gas lantern hanging from the rafters. And this next slide shows you there were like 5, there were that tiny little room. There's a podium right there on the left. And behind these guys, this was my group. David in the middle, he's 12 years old. He was another American. And these other guys were high school students from the high school where we were teaching first aid. They came with us to translate with the village folk there and to translate our sermon and our songs. Well, there's 5 little benches in that little shack. They're almost filling up the width of the shack just standing there. Well, that night, all the whole village came for our meeting. I'll never forget it, like yesterday. And you know, in the tropics, it's hot and humid. You guys probably know that. But every afternoon and evening, guess what happens? It's raining, and it's not just a sprinkle. It's pounding rain. It's like monsoon rain. And so everybody from the village packs in that little shack. I counted 40 people in there. And the barn windows were flung open, and every open space in the window was filled with a face. And so we started the program, and as we started the program, guess what happens? It starts to rain. and it rains. And it's rain. Have you ever been in under a tin roof when it's raining? Anyone? Raise your hand. You know how loud it is, right? So guess what I'm doing? I'm shouting. Our translators are shouting so that people can hear us. Well, toward the end of the program, I was impressed to ask God to stop the rain. There was a man right on the ground in front of me with no legs. He had dragged himself through the village with blocks of wood, with two pieces of wood with handles on top. Dragged himself through the village like that. No legs, all the way up to his torso, just dragged on his torso. And he's sitting right there in front of me. And I turned to my friend Dave and I said, Dave, I'm going to ask God to stop the rain. Forgive me, Lord, for growing up and getting complicated with my faith. Because it just instantly hit me, and Dave's eyes got really big. But I remember the final prayer. And I thanked God for bringing the people. They had never heard the name of Jesus. And I said, God, please stop the rain for these people so they can go home. And when I said, in Jesus' name, amen, and the translator repeated, in el nombre de Jesus, amen. Instantly, from pounding on the ceiling of the tin roof, you could have heard a pin drop. And the people stared at one another. They weren't breathing. Who is this Jesus? He must be real. Friends, don't believe your story is average. Don't listen to the lie of the devil. Because the God of the universe is writing your story today. You may not perceive it when you're paying your bills, washing your clothes, cleaning your kitchen, but your life is epic. It's epic as you allow the author of history to stretch you and mold you so that you can play your part in the greatest story ever told. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord of heaven and earth, for bringing these people today on your holy Sabbath. And God, I pray that you would rise up like a mountain in front of their sight, that they might see Jesus in a different way, a personal brother who walks with them in every experience, who's writing the story of their lives, that they might see your eyes and see how precious they are in your sight. And then, Lord, strengthen them to walk and to believe that their story can change the world. And we thank you for being with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Over 30 minutes.